Order, if you take your Bibles tonight and go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 28, please. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. Just to kind of add to some things that Brother Chris said about that article in Canada, also there is a pastor that has been in jail for at least the last couple of months because he opened his church up during this pandemic, and maybe, I'm not for sure, part of it is they didn't follow all the protocols, so they have put him in jail. He has been in jail at least for a month and maybe further, longer than that. And this week I heard he has made a deal with the state or with Canada, and they're going to let him out with just a $100 fine. But he actually went to jail. In Michigan, this last week, there was a lady. She was actually an immigrant from Russia. And she had a restaurant there. All she was doing is trying to operate her restaurant. And once again, she didn't follow all of the protocols. But they came to her house at 4 o'clock in the morning, arrested her, took her out of her house in handcuffs and leg irons, and they have sentenced her to 93 days in jail just because she didn't follow the protocol. And so many of you have, I haven't really studied a lot about it, but many of you have heard of the Equality Act that they're trying to pass right now. And a lot of people that are in the know are saying that it's not, you know, the main issue is just a transgender thing. But a lot of people in the know that studies this says that it's one of the things that the government is going to use to come against churches, is there's certain stipulations in that. And so we as God's people, I'm telling you, we just need to be praying. We just need to be seeking the Lord, because I'm telling you, God's greater than all of this. And it's not a time to get discouraged. It's just a time to get more dedicated and more committed to the things of God, because one of the things that we've said for the last 15 years that I've been here is that in the dark, the light shines the brightest. And so this is what's going to happen. So 2 Chronicles chapter number 28, I want to continue with our message that I began last week. Verse number 1, the Bible says Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captive and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And Zarkai, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azekram, the governor of the house of Elkaniah, was next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. Now I want you to skip down with me to verse number 16, because from verse number 9 down to verse number 16, he is dealing basically with Israel. And so I won't take time to deal with that tonight, but in verse number 16, it picks up the story once again. And at that time did King Ahaz send unto the king of Assyria to help him. For again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country and of the south of Judah, and had taken, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce all those names, but they're different cities that are in Philistia. And then verse number 19, the Bible says, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. Then Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And in the time of his distress did he trespass, yes, more against the Lord, that is, that king Ahaz. Last week I started this message, I just entitled it From Rags to Riches. And if you were here, I talked about Mike Tyson, who one time had $300 million in a bank account. In 10 years, he went to zero, not only zero, but he was in debt over $50 million. He went from a place of riches to a place of rags. I talked about the mayor of New Orleans for a number of years. He had a job that was paying him over $400,000 a year. His name was Ray Nagy. And he became the when he became the mayor of New Orleans, he went in on a platform that was against corruption and was against dishonesty in the government. And he served two terms. In 2000, I believe it was eight, he went out. And in 2014, he went to prison, found guilty on 20 counts of fraud against the government. This week, CJ and Lizzie and Pat, we went to Brownwood and ate at Underwoods. I'm sorry that you didn't get to go with us, you know. But as I was driving, we were driving back through Coleman, and we passed a house in Coleman, and it was a place that was in my early 20s. There was a lady that her husband had worked in offshore oil on a platform out in the Gulf of Mexico, and he was killed. And her settlement of that was about $1.4 million. And this was back in the early 90s, late 80s. And when she came to town, I really didn't know a whole lot about her. I knew a little bit about her mother. But when she came to town, I'm telling you, she had two kids. And about every other year, she bought herself and those kids brand new BMWs. She bought an older home that really wasn't a huge home, but it was a two-story home. A doctor had built his home back in the probably the 30s and the 40s. But she bought that home, and they renovated that home for a year and a half. I was told that they moved every wall in that house except for one. There was a house next to it where Edith Parsons lived in that house, and for a number of years I mowed that yard, but she bought that house and just moved it off so that she could have some extra room. But over the course of about 5 to 10 years, she spent money like it was water. She even built a recording studio in Coleman, Texas. Can you imagine that? But after probably 7, 8, 9, 10 years, something like that, she left town and she had zero money. She went from a place of riches to a place of rags. Now, last week we started talking about this text, and we talked about the fact that when Ahaz became king, he inherited a very prosperous kingdom. Matter of fact, Judah was at one of the heights that it had been in its history. It was a very strong kingdom. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jotham was the last king before Ahaz, that he had a mighty kingdom. And so when Ahaz came to rule, it was a very prosperous kingdom. But when we read this text, it's just a matter of few years before it is a kingdom of rags. And not only that, but they have gone into captivity against against other people. Now, last week, the first thing that I said about this is that I believe the reason that it went from riches to rags is because he rejected the source of blessing. He rejected the source of blessing. One of my favorite chapters, and I want you to turn there because I think periodically we need to read it, is Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Because I believe King Ahaz understood what God had told him and what God had promised. And really for the nation of Israel, and I believe even for you and I, this is really a great chapter and really a great promise. And I just want to focus in on the first part of it. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now listen to me. I like verse number 2 because if I understand it right, God is saying, you know what, if you serve me and if you keep my commandments, there's nothing that you can do about it. I'm just going to bless you. They're going to overtake you. They are going to come upon you. And notice all of the blessings that he promises them. Verse number 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou basket in thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee and thy storehouses and all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself as he has sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee a head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve him. Now I am quite sure that Ahaz knew that passage. They knew the word of God. And God says, you know what? If you will just serve me, if you will just follow me, if you will abide to the commandments and the teachings of the word of God, you are going to be blessed beyond your wildest imagination. I haven't thought about this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. We've seen that for the last 250 years in our nation, haven't we? I mean, there's really no other reason for a young country like us to be blessed the way that we have been blessed. But you know why we've been blessed? Because our nation was founded upon the Word of God. It was founded upon morality. It was founded upon the principles of God. And many of our presidents acknowledged that. And many of us as a nation, we said, you know what? We've got to follow God. And when we were doing that as a nation, the blessings came. But as we've been talking about, our nation for the number of years has been turning their back on God. What is happening to those blessings? God is slowly withdrawing them, and God is slowly taking them away. That is exactly what is taking place in 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. Ahaz turned his back on the source of blessing, and the source of blessing was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Ahaz did that, the Bible says in verse number 1 that he didn't do what was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. And last week we talked about that he uses David because he's creating a tremendous contrast between those two. In verse number 2, he says he walked in the ways of the king of Israel, and he made molten images for Balaam. And then verse number 3, he says he's offering his children in the fire. In verse number 4, the Bible says that he's sacrificing in every place in Jerusalem. Verse number 4, he says he's sacrificing under every green tree. And if you look at verse number 24, the Bible says that he's making false altars in every corner of Jerusalem. He's eat up with this idolatry. He's eat up with this worshiping the false gods. It's almost like he's in a cult. He can't get away. He's got to do more and more and more. And as he has turned his back on God, God has said, all right, I am going to withdraw blessings because I am the source of blessings. But then I want you to notice the second thing, and this is where we'll stay tonight. He is rejecting the source of help. He is rejecting the source of help. Notice what verse number 16 says. Verse number 16 says, "And at that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him." Who should he be looking to for his help? He should be looking to the Lord, because I want you to know at this time, King Ahaz is really in a mess. If you look back in verse number 5, the Bible says that he has been delivered to the king of Syria. The last part of verse number 5 says that he has also been delivered to the king of Israel. You look in verse number 6, when the king of Israel came down, they slew 120,000 people in one day. And then when you look at verse number 8, they carried 200,000 women, children, and daughters away back to Israel, took them captive. So in just a matter of a few days, he has lost 300,000 of his population. But that's not the only part. You look in verse number 17. In verse number 17, we have the Edomites. They've come and they have smitten Judah, and they have also carried captives away back to Judah. You look in verse number 18. The Bible says that the Philistines, they had invaded the land, and they are taking the land. And so what does he do? Instead of turning to God, he says, you know what, there's old Tiglath-Pileser. He is a great king. He is the king of Assyria. I'm going to turn to him. I am going to ask him for help. And this text really doesn't say it, but if you look back in the account in 2 Kings, you're going to find that Tiglath-Pileser took his money and made him a vassal state of Assyria. But notice what the Bible tells us here in verse number 20, talking about the kingdom of Syria. But he strengthened him not. He put his faith in a man, and would you know, a man disappointed him. Look at again, also in the verse number 21, at the last part, the Bible says, "And gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not." You see, he rejected the source of his help, and he looked to a man for help. And because of that, he went from riches to rags. I want you to go with me. Hold your finger right there. I want you to go with me back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. This is King Asa. But I want to show you three different accounts of what God was willing to do for Ahaz if he would have just asked. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. Verse number 2. The Bible says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." And so I want you to look in verse number 7 in the last part. The Bible says, talking about Asa, "They built and they prospered." Verse number 8 says, "And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor." He had an army of 500,000. Mighty, valiant men. But notice verse number 9. The Bible says, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came to Mesera." That is an army of 1,000,000. Asa must have thought, you know what, man, I am very strong. I've got this 500,000 army, man. They've got spears and they're well equipped. But God was going to test him to see if he would look to him for help. And so he brings an army of 1,000,000 people against him. So what does Asa do? The Bible says in verse number 11 that Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help thee, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art God. Let no man prevail against thee." And you read the rest of the story. What did God do? He showed up and he helped him. He defeated this great army of the Ethiopians, but he didn't just give them the victory, but he enriched them. Notice what the last part of verse number 14 says. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was an exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. So when Asa cried out to the Lord, not only did God give him help, but he enriched him. I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 17 now. 2 Chronicles chapter number 17, and this is the story of Jehoshaphat. Maybe you remember when we dealt with that, but I want you to notice verse number 3. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and he sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. So Jehoshaphat is serving the Lord. He is seeking the Lord. He is trying to live for the Lord. So I want you to now turn with me to chapter number 20. Chapter number 20, because Jehoshaphat is also going to find himself into some trouble. Verse number 1 of 2 Chronicles 20. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. What was the reaction of Jehoshaphat? Verse number 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. He was a pretty powerful king at this time. But what did he do as his custom? He set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Verse number 4, and Judah gathered themselves together. What did they gather for? To ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Hey, when trouble came, they didn't complain. He didn't gripe. What he did was, God, we've got to have your help. And if you don't help us, we're in trouble. Notice what verse number 12 says as they are praying. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I can just see God in his mind thinking, all right, I'm fixing to help Jehoshaphat. You read the last part of verse number 15. God says, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. And when you read verse number 22, and when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Hey, they didn't have to do anything because they cried out to the Lord for help, and because they desired God to help them, God says, hey, I'm going to do it. And they were able to win a victory and didn't have to do anything but show up and watch. But there's something really important that he did for them as he did for Asa. Look down in verse number 25. The Bible says, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches in the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Not only did God help them, but God enrich them. Let me give you one others of these. Go with me now to chapter number 26. Chapter number 26. This is Uzziah. In verse number 5, God told him, he says, you know what, as long as you seek me, I'm going to make him to prosper. I think that's a very interesting word. God made him to prosper. It's the same thing that we found in Deuteronomy 28. He said, hey, as long as you are seeking me, then blessings are going to come upon you. But I think not only blessings, but help. Because you look in verse number 6, the Philistines came against him, but God gave them victory. And you look in verse number 7, the Bible says, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians. Verse number 8, the Ammonites, who were also a enemy, they brought gifts unto Uzziah, and his name began to spread abroad. But notice what he says in verse number 15, the very last phrase of that, talking about Uzziah. It says, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. You know what that word marvelous means? It means exceeding. It means to surpass. As long as Uzziah, and as long as Asa, and as long as Jehoshaphat, and as long as Jotham, and as long as Joash, as long as they sought the Lord, and as long as they were willing to cry out to the Lord for help, the Lord abundantly gave him and them help. I'm quite sure that Ahaz understood the great stories in the book of Psalms where David and many times were in trouble. He would cry out to the Lord for help. And let me just read these to you. Psalms 37:40. David said this, "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." Psalms 109:26, the Bible says, "Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercies, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hath done it." Psalms 118:8-9, the Bible says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Verse number 13 of that same chapter says this, "Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song has become my salvation." Here is a verse that you ought to memorize, Psalms 121:1-2. "I will lift up mine eyes from the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and the earth." Over and over, David would get into trouble. David would cry out to the Lord, "God, you are my help. God, you have got to help. God, you have got to intervene. I need you in my life." And you know what? Ahaz refused to do that. Next week, we're going to probably look at Isaiah 7, because in Isaiah 7, God sends Isaiah to Ahaz and says, "You know what? These enemies, they are going to fall by the wayside. And if you don't believe me, just ask me for a sign. I'll give you a sign." And that great, wonderful verse, "Here is the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive." He gives that to Ahaz, trying to get Ahaz to cry out to the Lord for help. But Ahaz said, "I ain't going to do it." But you know what? I want to show you something that's very interesting and really it's very sobering. Why did Ahaz have all of this trouble? Was it just a bunch of bad luck? Did these Syrians and Philistines and Edomites and the king of Israel, did they look down there and see him going through trouble and did they on their own decide that they were going to go down and invade? No. Verse number 5, notice what the Bible says. "Wherefore, the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria." The latter part of the verse, he says, "And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Syria." When you look at verse number 19, the Bible says, "For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord." You see, in this text, God says, "I'm the one that brought trouble into his life." Oh, Brother David, God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. I'm sure God does. But I'm telling you, when you turn your back on God, he brings trouble into your life. Three times, the Lord delivered him. The Lord delivered him into the king of Syria, into the hands of Syria, and into the king of Israel. And verse number 19, the Bible says, "It was the Lord that humbled him. It was the Lord that brought him low." Is it any wonder what is happening in our nation is happening in our nation? Because if God tremendously blesses, when we as a nation, or as a people, or as an individual, when we turn our back and we walk away from God, if he is the source of blessing, he can withdraw it. If he is the source of help and we refuse to call out to him, he will not help. I want to leave you with this and then I'm done. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hopefully you have this passage memorized because in the days ahead, you're going to need it. But it is one of the most encouraging and one of the greatest promises in all of the Bible. Hebrews 4:14. The Bible says this, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Stay true to the Word of God. Stay true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold fast is what he's saying. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Man, get this next phrase. That we may obtain mercy. Aren't you glad that he doesn't say that his throne is a throne of justice and judgment? He says, come to the throne of grace. And when you come to the throne of grace, you're going to not get judgment, but you're going to obtain mercy. But not only that, but he says you're going to find grace. And what will that do? To help in the time of need. I love Matthew chapter number 11. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I told my Sunday school class this morning, and I've said it over and over. I used to remind our church when I pastored in Coleman constantly. Because I think sometimes we think, you know what, we're going to live life and we're never going to have any troubles or difficulties. And you know what, you may go 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, you may go a long time and not have any difficulties. But I promise you, as these older folks can stand tonight, at some point in your life, you're going to not have little troubles, you're going to have some major troubles. I was 40 years of age before I had any trouble in my life. And you know what I did many a time? God, you got to help me. I don't know how to go on. God, you got to help me. And you know what he did? He helped me. You know what you need to do when you go through difficulties and trials? God, you got to help me. And you know what? He will. But if you turn your back, Ahaziah rejected the help of God. Turn to him. When you need him. Lord, we love you tonight. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. And God, you showed us over and over with these great kings that if we would just serve you, if we'd just live for you, if we would just seek you, and if we would just call out to you when we needed your help, God, you would help. And not only help, but you would bless beyond measure. And God, tonight our country is in need of help. God, Christians in this country are in need of help tonight, of turning back to you. And God, tonight I pray that you would help our leaders. And God, I pray that you would help our nation. And God, tonight I pray that with some way revival could break out amongst our churches and among Christians. And God, I pray that there can be a turning and a moving back to you, dear Heavenly Father. God, tonight I pray that you would work in our country as only you can. God, tonight there may be some that are here tonight, and Lord, they may be going through difficult trials. Lord, tonight my prayer is that they would not reject the source of help, but God, they would turn to you and they would seek you and they would cry out to you. And God, they would surrender to you, and God, just sit back and watch you do marvelous things in their life. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in this invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. Maybe God's dealt with you tonight. If he has, you come.